we're going to keep talking on the inner man and outer man versus the model of body, soul, and spirit. I know that most Christians live by the model that I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in a body. That's so much in our culture. But I want to make you aware that there's another model of who you are in Christ to see yourself from. It's in Scripture by Paul, and the Apostle Paul. And I want to try to teach you and convince you from the Word that that's a better model to see yourself and to see Scripture through, that I have an inner man and an outward man. Now, we'll look over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So here is a contrast of the inner man versus the outward man. Paul taught that your inner man was born again, but your outward body was not. The outward body, we know, will be quickened in a moment at the sound of the trumpet, and we'll receive a new outward body that'll be eternal, that we'll live forever in that body. It'll be made of a special heavenly-type material that won't be corrupt, that won't have any corruption in it. But right now, we are wearing an outward man. And here it says, the outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. Now, you might want to underline that word renewed, because we'll come back to that in a future message in this series, that renewed is in the inner man. The inner man is where the renewing takes place. The outer man, we want it perishing, losing power in our life. But the picture here is an inward man and an outward man. Now, if you don't have a piece of paper and a pen, please pause the video and the audio here for a moment and get yourself a pen and a paper, and we're going to draw this picture together. Now, the inner man and the outer man is really simple to understand. Draw a little stick figure, a little body with a head and arms and legs, and then right beside it, we'll draw the outward man. Leave a little space in between the two so we can write some words in between them. And I want you to draw another stick figure. That's your same thing, a head, arms, and legs. That's the outward man. So you have an inward man and an outward man. Now, this is the model that I believe is the proper model. We're going to compare it a little bit today to the spirit, soul, and body, that I'm a spirit, I have a soul, and I live in the body. I want you to draw your two men, two bodies right side by side, an inner man and an outward man. The inner man's of God, born of God. The outward man was born in your first birth of Adam. It's made of material of the earth, where the inner man is made of material that's from God. When someone's in heaven, we believe that in heaven, they worship God. They learn new things in heaven. They have emotions of love, joy, peace. Just no emotions of fear or sorrow or anger, because they're left over in the outward man. There's a man I like to talk about. You've heard me say it before in other series. The man who was out shoveling snow on his driveway. And if you don't know what that is, you're a southerner in a hot climate in the north. You're very well aware of what I say. Yeah, he had to shovel the snow or shovel the driveway. It's that when it snows quite a bit in the north, the man got to get out there and shovel that driveway. Otherwise, it'll compact and turn into ice because it doesn't melt for a few months sometimes. And where I was raised up in northern British Columbia, the snow would stay around for 6 months just about. And so you'd have to shovel it whenever there was a heavy snow. A lot of us young kids at the time made a lot of extra money on the side going around with our shovels, shoveling people's driveway for them. And so this man, it's a testimony. He shared it, and I can't recall where I heard it, but it was a testimony that he was out shoveling the snow, and then he had a heart attack and died. And praise God, there was a couple of paramedics that were right there walking by, I guess, and they brought him back to life after a minute or two. And in that minute or two that he was dead, he shared an experience about him walking in heaven. I think he met Jesus and experienced heaven. And it was a glorious testimony of how everything was great. And then after a few minutes, they brought him back to his earthly body, and there he was again. And I like to use that as an example, that let's say he was a kind of a carnal Christian, going to heaven, obviously, but still not refined, maybe a little angry, a little jealous, a little sour. And then when he died, when he's in heaven, my question is, the man he was in heaven, walking around and meeting Jesus and experiencing emotions of love and joy, was there any sourness or anger or jealousy in him while he was in heaven? Well, every Christian knows to say no. No, because there's no sadness in heaven or anger or jealousy. We're perfect in heaven. Well, I want you to see that's a great picture of the inner man. That inner man was in him before he died, when he was on the earth. You don't get an inward body when you die. It's always been there. God designed humans to have an inner body and an outward body. And so he in heaven, we have emotions of joy and peace and love. But why is there no fear or anger or sorrow? Well, because when this man died, his body stayed on the earth. But here he is in heaven just with his inner man. Now, as soon as he got back to his body, all those emotions of anger and jealousy and sorrow are still there, because that's where they live. They live in the outward body. And it's part of the reason I think it's so important that we teach the church this understanding, that you have an inner man that has a mind, emotions, and desires that's from God. But you're still wearing an outward man, an outward body. Other names for the outward man is old man, and the inner man is called new man. The old man, this old body you're wearing, is of this earth, is from your first birth, but the new man that got born again, the real you, where you live, is already there. You don't wait for heaven to get an inner body. You're wearing it right now. You have, if you're a born-again Christian, a re-quickened inner body that's completely righteous and full of light and capable of learning incredible truths and wisdoms that come from God's mind to your spiritual mind. So let's work on our inner man and outward man model first. And then we'll compare it a little bit to the spirit, soul, and body. Now, the inner man is born of God. It was quickened, meaning instantly brought from darkness to light. And so your inner man is born of God. It has arms and legs. It has a mind and emotions and desires that are only desire of God, only want God, only live on the knowledge of God. That's your inner man. Now, right across from it is your outward man. It has a mind and emotions and desires. We call that the soul. But you have a soul also in your spiritual man. That's why in heaven, we have emotions and desires. So let's understand that man was designed from the beginning to operate in both worlds at the same time. God created Adam with a DNA that's of the earth, a natural DNA, but also with a spiritual DNA. That both bodies were twins. They were joined together like Legos. If I put together a Lego and I click two pieces together, they become one. So I call it one, but even though there's two pieces. So even though you're one, Adam was one, he was made of spiritual and natural. And that was the design of the human race. So every child conceived is developed with a spiritual body and a natural body that are so in unity that they're clicked together and they're called one. But when you got born again, your inner man got born again, and the outer man was left in darkness. So now you're torn because your inner man is of God, birthed of God, but the outer man is of Adam, of this earth. And that's why you have struggles, and you can seem bipolar sometimes. One day you're in peace and joyful and strong, and the next day you're the opposite. Like, what's wrong with you? Well, because you have an outward man, an outward body that has an outward soul, mind, will, and emotions that need to be first controlled, denied, resisted, and then mortified. So now with your two stick figures, your inner man, you can write above the left one, we'll write inner man and new man. You can put that also, new man. And then on the outward body, you can put above it outward man and old man. What do you want to be, the new man or the old man? Yeah, I want to be the new man. Now, since they're connected at birth, that means that the minds meet in the middle. The minds meet together, the natural and the spiritual. So if you draw a line between the two heads and connect the two heads together by a line, and then above that line, write the word mind. That's, you have a mind. Now that you're born again, you have a mind of the spirit and a mind of the natural. You have a place to hold natural information and a place to hold God information. Now at the hearts, let's draw another line between the two hearts of these two stick figures. We like to say the heart is a place of emotions, and that's okay. We'll just use that for right now. So at the hearts of these two stick figures, draw a line, connect them together, and write the word emotions. Emotions. Now, also part of us is we have a will, a desire to do things that rise up in us to go do things, either good or bad, but we have desires. Now, I want you to draw a little line between the feet. Like, desires is where my body wants to go. And I want you to write the word desires and will. Will and desires, we'll use those interchangeably. Now, it says here, you have an inner man and an outward man. The outward man is perishing, but the inward man is being renewed day by day. So we know by the word renewing that that's where renewal takes place, in the inner man. And because it's day by day, we know it's not a one-time deal, that there is a process. Day by day means you don't get it all once. It comes day by day. So he's describing the process. Now, these are your stick figures, okay? Your inner man, outward man. And then there's another part where it says you. You are the most important part of this picture, the you part. Is the most important part. You are the apple of God's eye. You are who he's trying to rescue from hell. You are who he's trying to save for all of eternity. And it's a miracle of God. The salvation of us is a miracle of God, that he was able to find us in one species, the species of Adam, a species of darkness, of carnal beings, of sinful beings. That's where he found you. And then in the end, he's able to rebuild everything around you. You get a new nature. You get a new inner body, a new outward body. You get a new spiritual mind, a new outward mind. And in the end, you'll be completely of the species of the children of God. And how different is the child of God versus the unsaved human supposed to be? Well, as different as darkness is from light, they're completely different. They're opposite of each other. And God's trying to rescue people out of the family of darkness and birth them into the family of light. And you've been born again. You were birthed in your inner man, completely of righteousness. And now that new man must grow up. It must mature. Mature in knowledge, mature in the emotions of godliness. And we're going to learn so much in this series. I hope you're excited as I am. And forgive me again for taking my time, but I just want to lay this foundation down. I've always felt that if we keep teaching the tree branches messages of how God wants you blessed and how God wants to use you, people never really understand the process until they see the real foundational truth of who they are. How do I get from where I am to there? And so we have so many Christians chasing tree branch words and teachings and prophecies that one day I'll get there, but they never get there. And if they could just see the foundation, then they'll know how to get from where they are to get to there, rather than just hoping all the time. I got some friends that travel from conference to conference to conference, trying to get preachers to lay hands on them to get a special anointing, a fresh word. And it's like, you don't need a fresh word. You need to find the truth and let it build up in you. That's the fresh word for you. Grow up. There you go. There's a prophecy for you. Thus saith the Lord, grow up. So I'm sorry, I'm preaching now. So in this picture of your inner man and outward man, I want you to add two more circles, a big circle right in the middle, underneath the feet of the inner man and outward man, right between them. Draw a great big circle, and we're going to write in that me. That is the part of you that God wants to rescue. That is the whole point of everything of salvation. That little circle called me, or you can write you, or whatever it is, that is the part of you that God is rebuilding everything around without eliminating you. It's a miracle. Now, draw me or you in that little circle, and then one more little circle around the belly button of the inner man, and that there you can write the word nature. That is where the nature is. It's in the spiritual body. How do I know that? Well, because when somebody dies and we bury their body or cremate their body, they don't stop existing. Any child conceived in the history of mankind is still existing today. You never stop existing. Whether you have a nature of darkness or a nature of light, that determines where you live for eternity. So all the people in our dispensation of time since Jesus, they're in heaven if they're born, if they got born again, and they're in their inner bodies. That inner body was always in them. When they, the moment they got saved, that inner body was in them. That righteousness was in them. You won't be more righteous when you get to heaven than you are right now if you're a born-again believer, because your nature was turned to righteousness. And because of that, now you are for eternity in heaven, in your inner man, and you're waiting for your outward body, your eternal body. Because those who died after Jesus that got to heaven, they don't have their eternal body yet. We won't either until the trumpet sounds. Now, those who were saved before Jesus, that were in Abraham's bosom, they all have their eternal body now. Jesus has his eternal body now. We're waiting for ours at the sound of the trumpet. The work of Christ is not done on the earth until after the millennium, after the 1,000-year reign, and everything is won over by Jesus. He owns everything completely. Then everything will be paid for. Then we get a new earth, a new universe, and we'll live forever on that new earth. So you have your two bodies, inner man and outward man, mind, emotions, and desires, and the nature is in the inner man. Now, if someone dies and they have a nature of darkness, a nature of sin that they were born with and they didn't get rid of it, they're in hell. They end up in hell. People in hell are also in their inner bodies. The outward body does not hold the nature. You only have one nature, but you have two bodies, you have two minds, two emotions, and two desires. Now, as we look at this picture, if someone's not saved, then those bodies are clicked together like Legos, and they're the same color. They're both dark. They're both darkness. And they're clicked together. And they're one. So you have one mind, one emotion, one what we call soul. They are in unity. Spirit, meaning nature is darkness, soul, mind, will, and emotions, is both are in darkness, and their bodies, which is their body, are clicked together in darkness. Body, soul, and spirit. And they are in darkness. Completely in unity. The thought that they think is in agreement from their spiritual mind and their natural mind. And it's complete agreement. Their emotions are in complete agreement because their very core, their very nature is darkness. Now let's go over to the second model that Paul also gave us in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. And I'm going to let you draw the figure of how would you draw a spirit, soul, and body. I'm going to let you figure that out. You draw it out. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. So there's you. We see you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also will do it. So I'm going to let you draw that out. Some people do a little circle for spirit, and a bigger circle for soul, and a bigger picture for body. Some people do a stick figure. And the problem I have with this model is many Christians are under the assumption they're trying to fix their natural soul, mind, will, and emotions, that I need to think differently, I need to fix it, I need to make it better. We'll do a whole lesson on the soul part of it. So I don't want to get into that too much. But draw yourself your body, soul, and spirit, however you see that. And we all know that they're like I've said before, that because most everyone I know is lives under the model, interprets the scripture under the model of spirit, soul, and body, that they have a whole language on how they talk about it. You know, I was in the spirit, but I was in the soul, like that was my soul. And so basically most of us, especially the charismatic group or Word of Faith group, we're basically saying the same thing. We understand that there is a part of us that is already righteous, a part of us that God speaks to, a part of us that we feel from. But then there's another part of us that we struggle with, where bad ideas, bad emotions, bad thoughts, bad plans come from. And we call that the soul. And so we're all saying the same thing, but if you use the spirit, soul, and body, it's much more complex to really see. Like, what part of your soul is the anger coming from? Oh, that's the bad part of my soul. You don't really have a clear answer. The better picture is inner man and outward man. The body, soul, spirit here that Paul is talking about in context, we went through this already, is talking about after we're born again. That after we're born again, we'll be complete again, spirit, soul, and body. In the end, when it's all done, we'll be standing on the new heaven, or on the new earth, inside of the new heavens, the new universe, and we'll be completely righteous. Our spirit, our new nature, will be completely righteous, which it is now. Our soul, mind, will, and emotions will be completely righteous, and our bodies, our inward body and our outward body, will be completely righteous and light. Your soul, mind, will, and emotions are connected to both bodies. In other words, in your spiritual man, your inner man, it has a soul, a mind, will, and emotions that was completely born again. It's like a newborn baby breathed his first breath of life. The moment you ask Jesus in your heart, a new baby was established, a new child, a new creature was actually established in you. Your inner man was born again. God's the father of your inner man and not to your outward man. He will be the father to your outward man when the trumpet sounds. So let's go back to our inner man and outer man version again. Mind, emotions, and desires. They're connected to where before you were saved, if you had a thought, it was all of darkness, you were in full agreement. Now, there's people in the world, unsaved people, who understand spiritual things. They learn in their culture that there is a spiritual part to them. And so they understand spiritual things in their cultures. Our culture in America, in North America, mainly doesn't really understand that. When I went to Haiti, there was a great influence of voodoo all over the nation. And in their culture, they understand that the voodoo guys have something. They're tapped into something. If you go to India, you'll find out there's whole gurus that teach about connecting to your spiritual self. And in some of the philosophers and some of the self-help people that are spiritual, they talk about your spiritual self. Even Oprah talks about your spiritual self. She's all confused. Even in the natural world, not just the Christian world, there is an understanding of a spiritual world that they are connected to. Because they are connected to it, they're as spiritual as you are. As you learn more in these sessions, you're going to learn that the spiritual world is more real than the natural world. And not just more real, but more important. We have too many of our churches trying to teach people how to be successful in the natural world, how to be wealthy, healthy, and wise in the natural realm, in the natural world, in this short little life, rather than, hey, how about focusing, instead of focusing on getting a new car, how about we focus on the new man? Let's build him up. Let's let that inner man grow and mature. Let's renew it with the knowledge of God, so then you can begin to live out of that inner man instead of out of your outward man. So the inner man and the new man are born again when you get saved. That means in your picture, you got one block dark and the other block dark. The inner body and outward body, both their minds, their emotions, and their desires are in perfect unity in darkness. That was mankind until Jesus was glorified. And then, now you got born again through Jesus. That means that your inner man was made light and righteous, perfect. Perfect in unity. Let's go to Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 4. We'll just start in verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. So he's telling them to come out of those practices. Don't live like that, because you are a new creature. But why do we still have the desires for it? Why do we still have thoughts for things of the world? Why do we still carry the cares of the world? Why do we still have emotions of anger and jealousy and pride and insecurity? I thought I was born again. Well, he's telling them, you've not so long learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off. See, you're supposed to put off those things concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts. Now, if you look under outward man, I have the word old man. That's where the old man is. That's who we're supposed to put off. Not old habits, not old practices. Put off the old man. The old man is the outward body that was not born again. Your outward man, who you were from your birth from Adam, still is. You're still wearing that outward body, that outward man. And see, the difference between the picture of inner man, outward man versus spirit, soul, and body is that we acknowledge that the outward man has a natural soul, mind, emotions, and desires. But we also want to acknowledge that my inner man, which has a mind, emotions, and desires, and the new nature, is now light, where the outward man is left in darkness. So now there is a fight, a contrary contention between the inner man and the outward man. And me, I'm in the middle. I can either live out of the outward man or live out of the inward man. I get to choose how I grow. I get to choose who I invest into. I can invest into the natural mind, will, and emotions of the outward man and reshape it into looking better. Or I can focus on mortifying the deeds of the outward man and focus on renewing the inner man day by day. Well, how do I renew? Pray in tongues, worship, meditate the word, obey. Sorry, I'm getting off topic. Let's keep reading. That you put off, verse 22, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, there's the word you put on. That's the day by day. I've got to let the new man grow so I can live out of him more or her more than I live out of the old man. Many Christians spend their whole life, the me part where the circle is, I would move it over to the feet of the outward man. Many Christians live their whole life feeling, thinking, and walking by the desires of the outward man because they haven't built up the inner man. But as you put on the new man, the inner man, who was created at the new birth in true righteousness and holiness, then I can move where I think from, where I feel from. I can move me all the way to the feet of the inner man instead of living under the feet of the carnal man. Verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, put away lying. Let each one of you speak truth to his neighbor, for remembers one another. And he goes on telling you the things of the old man that you need to put away. See, they're not just habits. He's saying, you can mortify the deeds, desires of the outward man. Not just retrain it, you can mortify it. I'm trying not to overdo it in these verses for you. I don't want to do overkill today. I want you to keep wanting more, as they say. Let's go over to Galatians. This is another verse that's hard to really understand under the model of spirit and soul and body, but really simple to understand when you see inner man and outward man. The moment you were saved, your inner man was rebirthed. That means that in an instant, the new nature was quickened from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness. But not only that, the entire inner man was also quickened by the new nature. The new nature brought to life the inner body, what Kenneth Hagin called the reborn human spirit. And now it is the inner man. The picture is that you now have a brand new person that was created in that moment you were saved, and that's the inner man. That's the first part of God redeeming us. The finished part will be when we get the new outward eternal body. And when I say body, when you see the word body, you have to think of it like a car. Whenever you see the word body, you must think like, I look at my car, I can say, look at my car, and I can point to you my car, and you see the car. Well, in that car is also an engine and a steering wheel. So I can say, look at the car, and I mean the whole thing, the engine and the steering wheel and the brakes and the gas pedal and and the radio, the seats, everything that's in there, the brake pads, the transmission, when I say look at the car. And see, that's why this isn't a life and death message that I'm preaching on the inner man and outward man model versus the spirit and soul and body. Because from a distance, we can all say, look at the car, look at who you are, and you'll understand that kind of the job of being a Christian is to walk towards holiness and out of sin. But when we go closer, there's much more details than just the car. There's an engine in there. There's a steering wheel. There's brake pads. There's a transmission. And so I'm trying my best to break this down like a mechanic for you so you can see the picture of who you really are. So when we say look at the body, the word body is like look at the car. Well, what else is in that car? When I look at my body, there is a mind, emotions, desires. And see, the engine would be the new nature. The new nature is what makes everything run. So when you got a new nature, it brought to life the inner body, the mind, emotions, and desires of the inner man is now birthed of God. It has God's DNA attached to it. If I were to take a blood sample from your natural man, it would have the DNA of your earthly parents, and I can trace you all the way back to Adam and Eve. But if I took a spiritual blood sample of your inner man, I would trace you through Jesus to God as your Father. God is the Father of your inner man. He's not the Father of your outward man. And so let's go over to Galatians. Well, hold your finger there. We'll come back here, hopefully. Let me take you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's see here. Let's start in verse 45. 1 Corinthians 15, 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So Jesus is called the last Adam because he is the seed to the new family, the new species called the children of God. The species of the children of God is as opposite to the human species of Adam as darkness is from light. And you were born again by the life-giving seed, Jesus, the final Adam, the last Adam. However, verse 46, the spiritual is not first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man, the Lord from heaven. As was the man of dust, so also are those made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly. And we have been born the image of the man of dust. We shall also bear the image of the heavenly man. So the picture here is that the spiritual was not first. God doesn't make people. He doesn't make Christians. He doesn't create people to go to heaven. He has to find them first in the natural, born of Adam, and then he rescues them and rebuilds everything around them, starting with the new nature and the new man, the inner body. That was already in the image of Christ in true righteousness and holiness. That's the picture of your inner man. Your outward man is left in darkness. And we'll go back to Galatians next session, maybe. We'll get there. But you'll begin to see how simple some of these scriptures are that are hard to understand under the model of spirit, soul, and body. Again, I'll just say, the spirit, soul, and body picture is a picture, a model, for when, before you were saved, you were complete darkness, spirit, nature, soul, mind, will, and emotions, and bodies, inner man and outward man, were completely darkness. And after the trumpet sounds, when the victory of death is complete and Jesus has obtained victory over everything, you will be completely righteous, completely light, spirit, soul, your minds, your wills, and emotions will be clicked together in perfect light. And your bodies, inner man and outward man, bodies, just the fingers and toes will be completely light. Right now, you're like God, when you were born again, you were used to be two dark legals stuck together, inner man and outward man in complete unity. And then when you were born again, God took the one piece of Lego that was dark and made it as bright as the sun. And now your inner man is righteous and true holiness. It has been brought to life by the new nature. But your outward man is dark, and they're still clicked together. That's why you can have both peace and fear at the same time. So I hope I'm helping. I'm going to just keep taking my time and sharing this gently. I'm trying not to overanalyze it and do it too booky for you. But the more you see the difference between the inner man and outer man versus the spirit, soul, and body, I want to encourage you to start asking yourself when you have a thought. Instead of saying, is that my soul or my spirit? Say, is that thought coming from my natural man's soul? Or is that thought coming from my spiritual man's soul? Is that thought coming from darkness or light? When you have an emotion, is that emotion coming from the natural man or the spiritual man? Is that emotion coming from my spiritual heart or natural heart? See, your spiritual man's emotions are always righteous, but the outward man aren't always righteous. So we'll continue, and I pray that you begin to see it the way I see it. That's my job, to try to paint it out. I know I'm trying to redo some of our culture, but I feel it's important. Again, as always, thank you for spending time with me. I love you, and I'll see you again soon. God bless you.